Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're going to talk about that episode that was videotaped, or I guess that's an old-fashioned term, at the Plain City Dairy Farm. If you haven't heard about it, you've seen the video. If you haven't seen the video, maybe you've heard about it by now. It's been pretty much roundly condemned as cruelty to animals. No one disputes that, but there are questions. Joining us today is Gene Bauer. He's president and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary. Gene, thanks for joining the show.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be with you.
And also Mike Bumgarner. He is with the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Mike, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me, Ann.
And then with us as well is Holly Zachariah. She's a reporter for the Columbus Dispatch and wrote the story in today's paper on page B1. Hi, Holly. She will be back in a minute. She's not with us right now. She'll give us the latest on that. She went to the hearing this morning in Marysville regarding the charges that were filed now against the dairy farm worker. But for now, let's just check out. She writes, the public image long put forth by Gary Conklin and Conklin Farms in Plain City contrasts with the disturbing images on video. Men jabbing cows with pitchforks, stomping on their heads, beating them with crowbars, and breaking their tails. The bawling from the animals stands as clear evidence of their pain. That is the least of it. Holly, are you with us yet?
I am.
Hi, Holly. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Tell us what happened this morning in the courtroom.
Mr. Gregg was actually in the courtroom. We were expecting it to be a video arraignment. It was a packed house, but that's not unusual for municipal court. And the judge set bond at $100,000, and he can post 10% of that in cash or property if he has property valued of that. I think probably the most interesting thing was it was the first time we'd heard from Gregg himself. He had quite a bit to say in court, talked about his service to this country, said he served 6 years in the Army and is a disabled veteran, and also made note to the judge asked him why he should be eligible for bond, and he mentioned that he has animals at home that he needs to take care of, and I think that probably was the most shocking thing to the observers in the courtroom this morning. So he has not posted bond yet. He asked for a court-appointed attorney, and he is still in the Tri-County Jail in Mechanicsburg.
What are people talking about now, Holly? I know that in the area that you cover, it's a lot of farmland out there. And what are people saying?
It is. You know, I was on the phone till probably midnight last night, and I was out and about town. I live in Marysville, and that's the area I cover. And it certainly was big news locally. A couple of things come to mind. And Gary Conklin is Conklin Farms is well respected in the ag community. They've long been leaders. People are shocked that the allegations surfaced. People are shocked that Gary Conklin himself was on the video, though there's some debate about his actions and whether or not they constitute anything as egregious as his workers. So people are trying to process it all. And then because it is an agricultural community, I think there's just general disgust. There's no farmer that I talk to who could justify anything, obviously, on that video. My teenage son raises beef cattle. He watched the video last night. He got all the way through it and said there's just, you know, it's a horrible thing. And people are still just, I think, trying to process how it can happen.
It looks clearly like the fellow knows he's being video recorded.
No, I don't believe so. Mercy for Animals didn't give us that indication. It was a pinhole camera, which is typically, very minute, on your ball cap, perhaps, taped to area, pinned on the lapel of your shirt, guessing that the investigator was wearing farm worker clothes. I'm guessing maybe on his ball cap. I think he just, in my opinion, and no one's told me this, my opinion is he clearly just likes to talk, and he was mugging for just this guy who was probably asking him questions and clearly interested in the stories he was telling. I don't believe he knew he was being videotaped.
What do we know about the organization Mercy for Animals?
Do
you know much?
I don't know a lot about them. My only other experience with that particular organization, and I might get the year wrong, and someone mm-hmm. might know better than I think it was 2001, that the same organization put forth some videos that were taken undercover in one of the
one of the egg farms, yeah.
Right, the chicken farm.
I remember
and,
that.
So I had a little bit of involvement back then as well. You know, they are. I have a lot of friends who are vegans and vegetarians, and I know that they are. This is an organization that very much is on the forefront of the vegan movement in this country. Beyond that, other than what I researched about, and did a little bit of internet research yesterday, and talked to several staff members, I can't give you much more than that.
What about Gary Conklin? Because as you mentioned, he was shown in the video. You said kicking. To me, it looked like stomping, but I guess those are the things that need to be ironed out. But what about him? Will charges be brought against Gary Conklin, who owns the farm?
You know, the authorities, rightly so, are not showing their hand. You know, there's still a very active investigation. I think the authorities were conducting search warrants last night till late in the evening, as far as I know, on the property. Gary Conklin, in a statement yesterday, said he's cooperating. I haven't talked to them. I've put that offer out there. They've declined. I've known the Conklin family personally just through my coverage of the Union County area that's been going. You know, I've been covering that area since 1992. I know that his grandfather and father before him were, and I believe some uncles, are nationally known for their knowledge of the cattle sale and dairy cattle industry. Nice guy by all accounts, which I think is what has locally made this all the more shocking. I think the national reverberations are because of the content of the video mm-hmm. and the manner in which everything was done. I think locally the shock is equal about who it is.
You mentioned earlier that when we were talking earlier that the sheriff is getting calls and emails from all over the world now.
Right. I think that there's also I know the county prosecutor called me at, I think, a quarter till 10 last night. And I was and he said he'd had hundreds of calls yesterday, and the county isn't handling it. The city prosecutor got involved because there are misdemeanor charges. I also yesterday believed it was probably the county prosecutor, but it's the city of Marysville because it's municipal court issue. They're only misdemeanors. But, the sheriff, Sheriff Rocky Nelson in Union County has was pretty distressed himself just personally last night because he's taken a lot of heat from all around the country, around the world, from people who are demanding action be taken. And he was... he and his investigators, again, I've known and covered for a long time, and I believe him when he says that no one brought this to their attention until he got a call from Conklin Dairy at 6 o'clock yesterday morning saying they wanted an officer there because they were about to fire Greg and they were concerned for their safety. And so he sent an officer there for civil standby, and only then was he made aware of the video. So things moved very rapidly yesterday. There was a lot of outrage yesterday afternoon about why there was only one charge. Why Greg was the only one charged. Mm-hmm. And Nelson, Sheriff Nelson said, you know, this is an active investigation. That was the most egregious that we've seen publicly anyway on the video. And I think there very well could be more charges. What those will be or who they'll be against, no one's speculating, and I don't know.
Now, there are suspicions on the street that this was a setup.
There are. My email was full this morning. On both sides of the issue, but certainly there are those who are suspect of the Humane Society's efforts to get the ballot issue on November to force the new Livestock Care Board to set some standards for animal confinement and animal care. I think that some people are believing that this is all a little too perfect, that the timing is suspect. There are people who have said to me in phone calls and emails that the man was clearly goaded, clearly enjoyed playing to the Greg, the suspect who's been charged, was playing to an audience of one man, the investigator. Now, I don't think that anyone, even those people that believe it's a setup, are saying that justifies the behavior. There, you know, that the man was wrong and the man deserves to be criminally charged. I believe that's a universal belief. But I think there are people who are questioning whether the organization targeted a known weak employee, perhaps backgrounded him, looked for somebody they knew was troubled, went into a small farm, Conklin Farms, while well respected, is pretty small. That farm's been in some financial trouble the last few years. I don't know how many workers they have anymore, how many cattle they move in and out, but clearly not what it was 20, 30 years ago. Chose a small farm because they'd be a little bit less suspecting that an animal rights organization would send any undercover investigators in. So it's, you know, that's certainly discussed on the street, and I think time will let that play out.
Holly Zachariah of the Columbus Dispatch, she wrote the story on page B1, dairy farm worker fired, arrested over video. Holly, you said you haven't talked with Mr. Conklin yet.
I have not.
But he put out a press release or something, correct?
He did. They, I believe the farm is working with a Columbus public relations agency, and they sent one statement late on Tuesday night, I believe. They emailed another statement yesterday, and as my story says, the statement said that he's cooperating fully with investigators. He immediately moved to fire Greg when the video was brought to his attention. He is retraining his employees, and those are the words out of the press release, on animal care and proper animal handling and animal management, and that he doesn't condone this behavior on his farm, and it's not indicative of what they've done. I think what was missing in that press release and what the public is interested in hearing is his explanation of his own actions. As you said, there's a lot of interpretation out there. It's just a snippet on the four-minute video of Mr. Conklin himself kicking a cow, clearly a downer. They call them downer cows. This one, all of the animals looked healthy. This one was down for some reason. Mm-hmm. She was down on the ground, whether she was sick or just, but he was trying to get her to move. I think that's what people think, whether he was excessive in that and whether it indicates a pattern or a culture of abuse. Someone else will have to decide.
Holly Zachariah of the Columbus Dispatch, thanks a lot for joining us on such short notice.
It's an important issue, and I appreciate your willingness to have me on.
Okay, take care. We have to take another break, but I want to remind folks that there are links on the website, wosu.org/allsides, or you can go to our Facebook page. We have links to the video and to Holly's story, but I want to tell you, it includes a warning that the video is graphic and disturbing, and to be perfectly honest, I couldn't watch the whole thing, and I don't know anybody yet who could watch the whole thing. So just so you know, if you want to be conversing with us from a basis of knowledge, check it out. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
And this is WOSU 820 NPR News. Coming up at approximately 12:40 this afternoon, President Obama releases his administration's 30-day environmental safety review of deepwater drilling. The president will also be taking questions from reporters about the Gulf oil spill and the White House's response to the disaster. Join David Green along with NPR's Ron Elving and Elizabeth Shogren for live anchored coverage and analysis. It's an NPR News special about President Obama's safety review of deepwater drilling, and it is scheduled to begin at approximately 12:40. So stay right here with WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
80 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20 this morning. Sunny skies today. We could see a chance of an afternoon thunderstorm and a high of 85. Clouds tonight and a slight chance of rain. All Sides continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the dairy farm worker who has been fired and also arrested and charged over the video of abuse of dairy cows in Plain City. Joining us now, we just heard from Holly Zachariah of the Columbus Dispatch. She couldn't stay with us, but she did a great job. Thanks, Holly. Joining us now, Gene Bauer. He is president and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary. Gene, thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to do so.
And also Mike Bumgarner of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Mike, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you also.
Mike, what is the official farm community saying about this?
Well, there's no doubt. I think this is one of these cases that no matter who you are, you're all in agreement that what occurred out there was disgusting, incomprehensible, just no excuse for it. You know, we condemn the actions that we're seeing, you know, on the video. There's no getting around it. That was animal cruelty to the max, and that individual needs to, you know, face the full punishment of the law.
Gene, what is your understanding about this kind of activity and how common it is? In your press release, you said that the organization randomly selected this farm, and I thought that's pretty good pickings for a random selection.
Yeah, well, Mercy for Animals has done, I think, excellent work over the years documenting cruelty at farms, and they've done this at other places as well, and they're mm-hmm. a very reputable organization. And, you know, Farm Sanctuary and other groups have also done investigations and found similar abuses. Now, what we saw in this most recent videotape is sadistic cruelty, probably worse than anywhere else. It's certainly not as common as other abuses, you know, where this individual appears to be enjoying beating these animals up. Mm-hmm. But that does occur, and I've actually seen workers shocking the genitalia of animals, mm-hmm. For instance. So sadistic behavior does occasionally occur, but it occurs in an environment where these animals are seen as production units, and they're confined and they're mistreated. You know, bad has become normal on today's farms, and this kind of cruelty kind of comes out of that type of attitude.
Now, there are suspicions that, as Holly mentioned earlier, that folks are saying, yeah, but it's bad, 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 but what if this guy was set up? What if the organization provoked him in some way to do this, to do something so heinous? You know, some larger farms can afford to hire people who screen full-time workers to make sure that they're not being infiltrated by PETA and that kind of a thing.
Well, you know, Mr. Gregg's behavior was intolerable, but there were other individuals that were videotaped as well doing things that were inappropriate. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a culture that exists where the animals, again, are just seen as production units, not as living, feeling creatures. So I don't believe that this is really an anomaly. I think that when animals are seen as production units, I mean, they're sent to slaughter at a very young age. Cows on dairy farms have their calves taken away from them routinely. Sometimes those calves are killed immediately. Sometimes those calves are thrown on piles of dead animals. There's a case in Florida where, you know, unwanted male calves born on dairy farms were actually being thrown in an open pit and shot because the price of them was very low. So, you know, this is unfortunately, on these industrial farms, the animals are production units, and if they're not profitable, they're seen as garbage. I've literally found living animals thrown in trash cans. At Farm Sanctuary, we take mm-hmm. care of animals that we've found, and we've taken living animals that were dumped on piles of dead animals. So, unfortunately, this is while this kind of sadistic behavior is not that common, it is fairly common for animals to be discarded and to be abused.
Mike Baumgartner of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, you're a farmer.
Yes.
And are you a dairy farmer?
No, I grew up. I'll give you a little background, Dan. You know, I don't have any livestock on my farm at this point in time, but my father was a veterinarian. I have a daughter getting ready to graduate from vet school. Been around livestock my whole life. And what Mr. Bauer just characterized is a total inaccuracy. You cannot be around livestock. You cannot be in production livestock, agriculture, and not care about the animals that you're entrusted with. We take great pride in what we do and how we care for the livestock. If the livestock is not taken care of appropriately and properly, they won't perform. And, you know, when you say perform, you know, Gene will probably come back and say it's all about economics. But the bottom line here is you have to be good stewards of everything that you have and been entrusted with, especially the livestock that you're working with. If you are not, they do not perform. They will not function in a way that we want them to.
Gene, if this is an anomaly, all things being equal, and you agree that it's out of the ordinary, is it fair to use this kind of a episode in the political battle over the livestock care board that they're putting together now, and that they want to further define in the ballot issue in November?
Well, I think it's important that there be an open discussion of what happens on farms and to acknowledge that this particular case is not the norm. But there should be an open discussion and to look at other conditions, such as where animals are put in small cages where they're packed so tightly they can't turn around, walk, or exercise. And, you know, historically, those types of topics have not been discussed, have not been addressed appropriately. And hopefully, just the attention being given to what happens on farms will lead to a greater understanding and awareness and some critically needed reforms.
If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mike, what do you think about the upcoming ballot issue or getting enough signatures to get it on the ballot? I should say it's not on the ballot yet. That's what they're doing is seeking signatures.
Well, I appreciate the question, Ian, but just to back up here just quickly, this issue has been brought about by a very brutal act that occurred on a farm in a video that just came out in the last, 24, 36 hours. You know, and now we're talking about the Livestock Care Board and a potential signature gathering that HSUS has initiated here within the state.
Humane Society of the United States.
It is, is that a coincidence? I just ask the question. To me, these situations are what we're talking about, or the question is separate from what we saw in that video. You know, the petition drive that is going on out here would not have affected what occurred out at the Coughlin Farm, regardless of what the outcome would be this fall with that initiative. You know, these are separate issues, but yet we've been able to turn this thing, and even in Gene's press release concerning this, has to come back to the ballot issue that's being pushed by HSUS, currently. That is not coincidence. I'll be perfectly blunt about that.
Well, let me just say that, last year, there was also videotape that was taken in Ohio, maybe it was 2 years ago now, showing pigs being killed on a farm where they were literally being hanged by a chain and killed by strangulation. So, this kind of cruelty does occur.
As you know, every livestock commodity group has come out condemning that and is opposed to that.
Well, they didn't condemn it when it was. They didn't condemn it when it was in court, and in fact, the farmer was acquitted and found not guilty of cruelty for that. So I disagree that this is the kind of cruelty that occurred.
Well, you can go to the records and show that the commodity groups have come out against strangulation and hanging as a form of euthanasia.
They have now, after the ballot initiative effort is underway. Sorry, okay.
No, that's okay. But I'm wondering, a big part of this has evolved from the the domination of the big industrial farms, and that having the huge farms desensitizes us to the animals, whereas, Mike, when you were growing up around animals, your dad was a vet, you were sensitized toward animals, I'm sure, on a daily basis. Is there any connection that a culture is being created that does treat the animals as just product units?
No, I don't agree with that. I think when you talk about trying to manage and operate a large-scale production unit, your sensitivity towards meeting those animals' needs probably is heightened. The care that is provided in a lot of these large-scale operations is beyond reproach. As far as the transparency within the industry, it needs to improve. We will be the first to say that. People don't understand, conventional agriculture. They drive by and they see a sign that says stop, do not enter, and they wonder why. And it has to do with a variety of reasons, one of them biosecurity. When you have that many animals in a unit, and it doesn't matter whether it's 10 or 100 or 1,000, today the risk of a disease coming into your operation is great. And just to have people in and out, you have to monitor that to control for the safety of the animals. When we look back and we've heard questions come out in the video as far as, Mr. Conklin and his actions with the downed cow. I don't know all the particulars around that situation and what was wrong with the cow, but I do know that when you're working with livestock and when growing up and having a father as a veterinarian, and the worst thing that you can do with a down cow is to leave her down, because they will lay there and they will die. So what you try to do is get them up so that they have a chance of surviving. You know, that the most inhumane thing would be to allow them to stay on the ground. You know, and when you're talking about how do you get them up, you know, it's frustrating. You know, we can all think we can sit there and we can talk to it and convince it to get up, but they don't understand us. We don't talk in the same language they do. So being nice and trying to tell them, you know, they need to get up for their own well-being doesn't work a lot of times. So what you try to do is, you know, put them in a position or do things to make them uncomfortable so that they would get up and have a chance of surviving.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. We're talking about the story on page B1 of the Columbus Dispatch today. Maybe you've seen the video of the abuse of the dairy cows in Plain City. Give us a call if you want, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Don. Well, it's not an email. It's from Don on Facebook. He writes, I hope everyone knows that this is not the norm for Ohio farms or any farm for that matter. Farmers are masters at maximizing profits. They have to be, or they are not going to be in the business long. Animals treated horrifically, such as the ones in this video, simply are not going to be productive. Any farm manager letting something like this go on is an idiot. Obviously, this should not happen for moral reasons, but as we all know, money often trumps morality. So no matter how one looks at this, it should never happen. It is, Mike or Gene, a turnoff if you like to drink milk to see that. And it did make me wonder why in heaven's name would anyone abuse an animal that needs to be producing milk? It did seem kind of...
It's counterintuitive. And I think, in a sense, the worker there was probably frustrated and angry at the animal because they were not producing milk or they were not doing what the farmers wanted.
He seemed sadistic to me.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. And part of that sadism, though, may have come out of his frustration with the animal not performing. You know, a downed animal not getting up, you know, sometimes they will kick them. And because, you know, Mike talks about how they want to save the animal and let the animal live. Mm-hmm. But the reason they want to save the animal is so they can exploit them and milk them. And so that's the primary motivation. And when that's the primary motivation, you know, the animal that does not get up is seen as a liability and is sometimes penalized and punished. And on these factory farms, just to speak a little bit to this idea that they do have to treat the animals humanely for them to be productive, I completely disagree with that. Putting animals in small cages where they can't move is not humane. And farmers who raise animals by the hundreds or by the thousands in those crates, ironically, don't really understand the animals. All they know is whether they're productive or not. And if they're productive, they keep them on the farm. If they're not productive, they send them to slaughter. And, you know, how can you understand an animal that you keep in a 2-foot-wide crate for her whole life? In the case of breeding pigs, for example, they basically feed them at the front, hose them down at the back. They don't understand these animals. And that's a strange irony today with these industrial farms where the animals are seen as production units and farmers have lost an understanding of them.
Now, I'll say this. You know, I swear we were going to have a show on the whole Livestock Care Standards Board next week, and then this video came out. But I think even if I wasn't planning a show for several weeks or months on it, I would have had a show today because of that video. So what it has done, arguably, Mike, is raise this, you know, the discussion level. It's heightened the discussion, and we've got people waiting to talk to us now. And
can I just make a quick comment?
Sure.
And you know, as far as moving the livestock inside, there's a lot of reasons why we've done that. And one of the main reasons is it's better for the animal. When you're talking about having an animal that's living out in the environment in a natural state, nature can be a pretty harsh enemy. And, you know, growing up and seeing those kind of operations and seeing where we have gotten to with some of our more conventional operations and bring the livestock inside where it's environmentally controlled, nutrition is controlled, you can manage the animal on an individual basis, there is no doubt that animal is better off today than where they were before.
But some farmers and some members of your organization do have the animals outside.
Oh. Yes,
it's a choice that has a logical explanation as well.
And we support all kinds of agriculture. We need it all. And that's, you know, probably for another topic for another day. But, you know, we support all kinds of agriculture, whether it's organic, all natural, grass-fed, you know, conventional. We need it all.
Let's take a call now. David, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, David.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And there's so many aspects of this issue. The one I just wanted to ask about is in regard to the law, in terms of the consequences for abusing an animal. And I must admit, I don't know what the laws are on the books right now. I have heard Ohio has some of the weakest laws in terms of consequences for abusing livestock. If that's the case, my question for the Farm Bureau, as well as Farm Sanctuary and Mercy for Animals, is will you all pool your collective political power down at the State House and fight for more consequences or more severe consequences to try to as one avenue to act as a deterrent so this does not happen again? Mike, I don't know if it's systemic or not, but...
No, it's no. Thanks, David, for your call. I appreciate it. Mike?
Well, I think those laws are, I think, currently being looked at. I think, you know, from Farm Bureau's standpoint, the position we have, we will not support laws that would put a crime against an animal worse than the crime against a human. So, in other words, you know, if we have a similar activity towards an individual, we feel that law should be harsher than the same activity towards an animal. You know, that's a philosophical thing, and you know, and I don't have a problem stating that or feeling that.
Well,
way.
Maybe not equal to a human, but a misdemeanor.
Well, I'm not. You know, I don't know. You know, the laws. You know, specifically in these cases, I know they are misdemeanors. Could they be, you know, harsher, increased? I think that's something we all need to look at and judge and evaluate. That is a possibility.
Well, unfortunately, you know, laws are very weak when it comes to farm animals. Farm animals are specifically excluded from the Federal Animal Welfare Act. Farm animals are excluded from many state anti-cruelty laws. There have been situations, you know, as I mentioned before, this case in Ohio where this pig was killed by being strangled and the farmers found not guilty. There have been cases where I found a couple of live chickens in a trash can. We tried to prosecute the farmer, and he argued in court that he could legally treat the birds like manure, and he was ultimately found not guilty. There's another farmer in California who had chickens, ground them up in a wood chipper because he didn't want them anymore. He was also found not guilty. So laws are very weak, and Ohio's are among the weakest. So, no, we're hopeful that, you know, this case will draw attention to what is happening, and hopefully the Farm Bureau will, you know, support some strengthening of the laws because, you know, what is happening now is unacceptable, and it's outside the bounds of appropriate conduct in our society.
We got to take a quick break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Get the stories behind the headlines every day on All Things Considered.
Lifestyle Family Fitness CEO Jeff Dyer hopes his Columbus gyms will be packed with teenagers.
Having a chance to exercise in an adult environment gives them a whole different perspective about the way fitness can be fun and rewarding at the same time.
On your drive home, listen to award-winning coverage from the WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
And you're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. President Obama releases his administration's 30-day environmental safety review of deepwater drilling. That event is scheduled to begin at 12:40 this afternoon. The president will also take questions from reporters about the Gulf oil spill and the White House's response to the disaster. Join David Green along with NPR's Ron Elving and Elizabeth Shogren for live anchored coverage and analysis. It's an NPR News special, President Obama's safety review of deepwater drilling, beginning at approximately 12:40 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 80 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunny skies today, and we could see scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a slight chance, and a high of 85. A few clouds tonight, also a slight chance of rain, a low of 63. A mix of sun and clouds for Friday, and a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm, a high of 82. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about that video that was released last night or early yesterday of the abuse of the dairy cows in Plain City. Joining me in the studio is Mike Bumgarner of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, and on the phone, Gene Bauer. He is president and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary. Farm Sanctuary is not the organization that released the video, but they support stronger penalties for animal abuse or farm animal abuse specifically. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mary Ann, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have to say that I'm frankly skeptical of Mr. Baumgartner's assertion that the animals are well cared for by this kind of operation. I didn't watch the video. Frankly, I couldn't bear to. I'd probably never sleep again. These animals would clearly show signs of injury with what they've been through.
I wondered about the same thing, Marianne, that how could he not notice?
Exactly. That's what I was about to ask.
Mike,
why
how
didn't the owner notice and raise some questions?
I know you can't speak to the specifics, but could it be that the animals could be injured that way and the owner not notice?
Well, you have to understand. I mean, your first impression would be no, the owner should notice. I don't think there's any question on that, I think. But you have to understand when you in the image that you saw with the employee stabbing or poking the cow with a pitchfork, the hide on the cattle is very thick. Not to say that there weren't puncture wounds. I don't know. Wasn't there. But that it takes pretty good force to penetrate the hide on a cow. Now, along
doesn't
the same,
mean it doesn't hurt.
Doesn't
but
mean it doesn't hurt.
Okay, hang on, Marianne.
Shouldn't happen. The other thing that, Marianne brings up a good question here. Their business is supplying cattle to other dairies across the country.
Okay.
So if they were shipping cattle across the country to other customers that had injuries on them, those cattle would have been rejected. But they have a very good business out there, or had a very good business out there doing this. And, the complaints, we're not aware that there were complaints coming back from their customers. So that, you have to wonder, if this was an action that was, on a regular basis or something that happened out there on a routine basis, why weren't there complaints coming from customers they had with the cattle they were moving through their operation?
Well, the complaints would have gone from the customer right to back to Conklin Dairy, so a lot of that information would not be made widely available.
Yeah, but their business would have been shut down, Gene. You know that.
But they could just not sell those cattle. They could hide them away.
Yeah, but right. I've turned this over in my mind. I'm still trying to figure out when I was watching the video. I was like, why would anybody do this? Why? Because even if you reduce it to a non-sentient product, as you put it, Gene, even if you reduce it to just inanimate, almost property.
Well, I think that some of the animals that are not performing are not very valuable property. And sometimes workers will take out their frustration on the animals that the animals are not performing, and so why do they have them there? And from a profit-minded farmer's perspective, there's no reason to have them there. And then now they have to get rid of them, and usually that means send them to slaughter. But if they're down, that's frustrating. So sometimes and farmers do have it tough. I don't want to negate that fact, but still, it doesn't justify that kind of sadistic cruelty.
But along that same thinking, the margins in farming are so thin that every animal, every thing that you do on your operation affects the bottom line. So you just do not take one out of the system because you think he's not worth much. It all is valuable to that farmer because the margins are so thin out there.
Marianne, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, one reason the margins are so thin, though, is because it's gone to industrial volume production, and we got more quantity food as opposed to quality food. And I think we need a whole shift back towards a more sustainable, local, humane farming system. And that's, a whole other issue.
Gene, and when these kind of things pop up like this and there's a lot of discussion about it, there's also the message from your organization and others that we should just stop drinking milk.
Well, I think if you look at our country, we drink way too much cow's milk, and we eat too many animal products, and we're now seeing health consequences as a result. So, you know, what a person chooses to eat is their own choice, but I think, you know, if you look at the empirical data, it's pretty clear that we're not eating very well, and if we shifted towards eating plants instead of animals, it would be better for us.
Let's take another call, 614-292-8513. Cindy, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to point out to the folks that the Farm Bureau gentleman, and I'm sorry, I forget your name, reacted to the statement by a caller that the Farm Bureau should probably look into supporting animal rights, strengthening animal rights legislation in Ohio. You reacted very defensively, and that turns a lot of people who don't know anything about animals or farming off. I think the Farm Bureau would probably be really, really well served by actively supporting stronger animal rights legislation in a way that benefited them, the Farm Bureau, the farmers, and that would, in the end, benefit, you know, the people and the animals of Ohio, too. I just thought that it was that you should avoid, like, kind of knee-jerk, we're not supporting this. And look a little bit more proactive, and everybody would probably be better served that way.
Mike?
Well, I appreciate your comment. I certainly didn't mean to be defensive on that. My point was in the question, I think, had to do with the animal cruelty laws. And that's something that, you know, I think is being looked at currently and evaluated what can or should be done with the current animal cruelty laws here in the state. And I think everybody's looking at that.
Thanks.
Thank you for your call. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820, 614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mike, is the reason organizations like the Ohio Farm Bureau oppose regulations around this kind of stuff is because every situation is – I mean, why not say you can't stab a dairy cow with a pitchfork?
Well, I think we'd all agree you should not stab
right.
a cow with a pitchfork. I think the problem comes in when you start talking about making regulations. Where do you start and stop with that? You know, I think, you know, when you talk about the farming community in general, you know, the farming community, you know, for the most part supports, you know, let me do my business out there. You know, does not want government intervention. You know, that's what was a surprise to a lot of people, I think, last year with the creation of the Livestock Care Standards Board, which the community did rally around and did support because they felt that was a way to deal with these animal welfare, animal care issues in a very holistic manner. We need to look at all aspects of animal care in our operations and how they affect not only the animal, but the workers that have to work with the animals, the consumer out here, what's the impact to our consumers. We need to look at food safety. We need to look at worker safety, you know, the whole gamut of issues that come into play with the decisions that wrap around not just, you know, the animal care, but how it affects everybody in society. And we felt that was the best way to approach this in the most common sense way to approach the whole animal welfare, animal care issue is looking at it from a holistic standpoint. And that's why we supported the issue too and the creation of the Livestock Care Board.
Now, the Humane Society of the United States has started that campaign, as we mentioned earlier, that would put a constitutional amendment on the fall ballot to require certain reforms, including animal confinement standards, and you spoke about that, Gene, a couple times now. Isn't there a danger in legislating that way? Legislation is the wrong word, but in isolation from how farms are operated and how things operate?
Well, let me just be clear that what this initiative that the Humane Society is working on in Farm Sanctuary and Mercy for Animals, other groups mm-hmm. are working on as well, would put a measure on the ballot to give guidance to the Livestock Care Standards Board. It wouldn't create a new section in the Constitution. It would just give guidance. And specifically, it would require some very basic reforms. It would require that animals be given enough space to turn around and stretch their limbs. Now, I think that's such a modest request that, and it's pretty amazing that the farming industry has said that they don't want to do that. And one has to step back and ask themselves, how has it gotten to the point where these industrial farms don't even want to give animals enough space to turn around and stretch their limbs. You know, bat has become normal on these farms, and the Livestock Care Standards Board that was put in place, you know, there are some concerns about the makeup of that board. Of the 13 members, there's only one humane advocate. So, you know, it's pretty tough for that individual, I think, to sit down with 12 others and to argue for what I believe and what I think most Ohioans believe are necessary reforms. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm hopeful, but I think that this signature gathering effort underway is also necessary to move the issue forward, because otherwise I think there are legitimate concerns that the Livestock Care Standards Board would just be something in name but wouldn't do anything meaningful.
Mike?
Well, you know, I find it a little bit humorous that we're condemning the board before the board even has a chance to put anything forward.
Where is the board at?
The board has been conducting this last month listening sessions around the state, trying to collect input from all segments of society. They did six listening sessions. They wrapped up really Wednesday night was their last one, this past Wednesday. They have meeting coming up next Tuesday, and we'll be meeting every other week out at the Department of Agriculture to start the process to define and, you know, what is appropriate or not appropriate out on our farms. You know, I think the board itself, when you look at the makeup, it is a cross-section of today's society. There's four veterinarians on there representing different segments. You got consumers. You've got somebody from the food banks, you know, past USDA individual. So there is a tremendous cross-section, and I think when you look at those individuals and you look at their background, anybody that wants to be critical of the board is not being honest with themselves as far as what each of those people bring to the table. It is a tremendous board, and they have a big task in front of them.
614-292-8513. Brenda, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me today. I'm a dairy farmer in Ohio. And I'm a little frustrated that a case of livestock mistreatment makes headline news, big news in Ohio, all across the nation today, but hundreds of cases of good animal care receive no attention
at all. Right, but yeah, but have you seen the video?
I've seen the video.
I know you have, and that's what news is. I mean, Mike, would you disagree that this should make that this would be news, or would you think that the media should sit on it?
Well, I guess I'd like to disagree, but the reality is, you know, that this is what you know, sells papers and what people react to. They want to see. I think the reality here is they want to see the exceptions. Everybody's interested in the exceptions,
regardless of what the topic is.
Yeah, and this is an exception. This is not a, you know, condoned throughout the industry. That is not a standard out there in the industry. This is by far an exception. And when you really drill it down, this is a result of an individual that, quite frankly, has many problems.
Yeah, Brenda, what, just from the point of view, was there anything in that video that you thought was justified?
No, it was horrifying.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I don't know.
It made me physically ill. I could barely watch it. Mm-hmm. And I know that is, I have been in the dairy industry all my life and been on lots of dairies across this nation, and mm-hmm. nobody would condone that, approve that. It's animals just are not treated that way. And I understand why this is in the news media. Certainly, I'm not naive. But I think people out there don't get enough of a chance to see what really happens in agriculture. And we in agriculture, we're on Facebook and have blogs, mm-hmm. and we're really trying to spread the word about what we do and the good things we do. Then one thing like this comes along and mm-hmm. kind of wipes out everything, all the great things that are happening in animal agriculture and the great way we do care for our animals. And it's very frustrating mm-hmm. to me as a dairy producer as well, when I see something like this. It's sickening. It's unfortunate.
Well, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care. Gene.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, this, again, is a sadistic individual who did some very bad things, right? I actually shouldn't say he's a sadistic individual. I don't know him, but the behavior was clearly sadistic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, beyond that, there are systemic cruelties that exist on these industrial farms. You know, again, putting animals in cages and crates so tightly where they can't turn around or stretch their limbs. There are currently 27 million animals in the state of Ohio that are packed so tightly they can't move. And so, you know, I think, you know, these types of stories do get more attention, understandably, but there are systemic issues that also need to be addressed. And, you know, we're hopeful that the Livestock Care Standards Board will address these things in a meaningful way. But you know, there's this signature gathering effort underway now to ensure that happens.
Mike, is the size of the cages, is that an issue that the Livestock Care Advisory Board would specifically deal with?
Yes, they will take that issue up and be looking at what is appropriate housing or not appropriate for birds.
And standards will be set.
Correct.
So yes. There'll be debates about how big and...
And there's going to be multiple opportunities for the public, for Farm Sanctuary, for HSUS, for whoever to come in to express their concerns and defend, you know, what views they have.
I apologize. I forget. Are you on the board?
No.
Okay.
No.
You just, as your position with the,
Farm Bureau.
You monitor it. And
correct.
Are you at every meeting?
I've missed one so far.
All right. Let's take another call. 614-292-8513. Shelley, you're on the air. You watched the video.
Yes, I did watch the video. I can say with 100% certainty that I believe that individual is sadistic without knowing him. And I guess my problem, this goes back to what you all were talking about earlier, where the owner of Conklin Farms was saying he didn't know this behavior was taking place. And on the video, they actually show the verbiage along, because you can't quite understand what the gentleman's saying. So they show it, and he says right out, I beat that. Mm-hmm. I beat her so effing bad that her face is swollen, and now we can send her to slaughter. I mean, he's almost bragging and boasting.
Well, he's clearly boasting, and there's no argument about that, right? Right, Mike?
Oh, correct.
No, that's.
Yes. I mean, I just guess I don't know how they could not know that if he's doing that over and over again and having these dairy cows sent to slaughter. That was just my point
I
wanted to make.
Thanks, Shelley, for calling.
Thanks.
I think it's a good point. You know, the management on this farm was obviously questionable. And this is a facility that was considered grade A, according to the Ohio Department of Agriculture. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're concerned about this Livestock Care Standards Board, which is headed by the Department of Agriculture. You know, the department tends to be pretty close to agribusiness and has historically tended to defend practices that I think most people would be upset by.
Mm-hmm. We've just got a few more minutes left. Mike, you want to have the last word? And Gene, thank you for joining us today.
Well, again, Ann, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here today. This was a serious issue, and I think the authorities are handling it appropriately. There isn't anything about what you saw in the video, what this individual did, that anybody could condone or defend. Probably the most disturbing part of this, you know, why wasn't this brought out sooner? And I think even Holly made that point that, you know, the video didn't even get to the authorities until Mr. Conklin called them to have them come out. It's disappointing that, you know, whoever you are, when you see these types of actions occur, they need to be reported immediately. But again, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. That's all the time we have for this topic today. Join us again. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.